Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Still Seeking, Still Expecting, and Still Following.
To all the mothers, amen. To all the mothers, amen. Happy Mother's Day. Luke 24. It's rather a long passage, but for continuity's sake, I need to read the entire passage. And then for a correlating scripture, Jeremiah chapter number 29 and Luke chapter number 24, when you have the word, say, I have the word. If you need the amen a moment, just say, give me a moment, amen. If you need a Bible, just put your hand up, amen. Somebody will get you a Bible to use. And then if you do not, amen, have a Bible, amen, on the screen, amen, will be, amen, the scripture that I'm reading. Very powerful. And I think it's really, amen, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, amen, pertaining to the day. It's just amazing to me. Luke chapter 24, when you have the word, say, I have the word. Amen. Let's read, and then I'm probably going to drop out, but you continue to read, amen, and I promise you the word of the Lord is blessed. Let's read. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered it and found not the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue.
And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which has happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.
Yes.
And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?
And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told them things unto the apostles, and the word seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed him not. Jeremiah, correlating scripture, Jeremiah 29, not your favorite one, 11, but verse 12 and 14. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and through 14, he says, then call upon me, and you shall go, and you shall pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into a place which I caused you to be carried away captive. You shall call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister on this Mother's Day 2019. For these next few minutes, God, give me articulation of speech. Speak through me. Declare your truth that it become present truth. Declare your words that it becomes life. Speak unto us today, Lord. Give us ears to hear, God. We thank you for gathering us, God, that we might be assembled. We thank you for bringing us near and far. We thank you, Father, for who we brought with us, Lord. And now lives will be impacted because they was in this atmosphere. Thank you for an audience that would bring, amen, draw through to us, God, through means of watching through a television. And Lord, speak now, Lord. Speak now, Lord. Speak now. You said you sent your word and it healed us. And Revelation said you make all things new. Lord, you want to do something special in the lives of the church, your people. And so now, Lord, as I speak, Lord, do that special thing that we'll never be the same. We're going to come in here one way and we're going to leave out of here another. Lord, speak. Be mighty to save, mighty to heal, and mighty to deliver. Lord, even heal relationships on this Mother's Day. Hey, God. Cancel every assignment that would break and destroy families. And heal, oh God, relationships on this day. Let the heart of the son be turned back to the father. Let the heart of the daughter be turned back to the mother. Let reconciliation happen that causes, oh God, us to be reformed, that will cause us to be revived, that will cause us to live. And we declare and we decree every plan of the enemy is null and it is void. Everything that he thought he could do with our family, you've canceled the assignment because what happened in Luke chapter 24. Every assignment of the enemy is now canceled. So we say and we decree, Lord, that the sick are healed and the minds that have been wandered and been attempted to be taken by satanic beings, they now have rightness of mind and rightness of thinking. Don't let us go, God, until you bless us. Don't let us go until you change situations, Lord. Don't let us go until you make this a Mother's Day to remember. And as you do it, be careful to give your name the glory. We give your name the praise. This is our prayer today. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen and amen. For a few minutes, I want to talk about still seeking, still expecting, and still following. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, just catch somebody by the hand and let them know, say, I'm still seeking, I'm still expecting, and tell them I'm still following. Right? You might not understand it all right now, but I'm gonna make it plain, so just stay with me. Tell one more person, say, I'm still seeking, I'm still expecting. Come on, tell them, no, I'm still following. Amen. For a few moments, amen. Just stay right there, hold and take it down a little bit, amen. Other ministers, y'all can be released, amen. But just give me a moment, I wanna talk about still seeking, amen, still expecting, and I'm still following. Because this is a powerful text, and who's in the text, amen, gives us an exemplary example and it show to us how we ought to live if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And it speaks, amen, canceling a lot of, amen, misinformation that we might have believed heretofore. Amen. So a few moments, I just want to speak, amen, about still seeking, still expecting, amen, and still following. In John chapter number 20 and verse 30, it says, and many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He says, these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's very important as we get ready to explore Luke chapter number 24, because John tells us when we read the gospel, these things were done that we might believe. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor, do you believe yet? Do you believe yet? Do you believe yet? Everything that we see, amen, recorded, Genesis to Revelation, but specifically Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was written, the author John says, that we might believe, and that in believing, we might have life through his name. There is so much power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why so much happened around the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we would not believe that it was possible for a man to get up out of the ground. But these things was written that we might believe. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, do you believe yet? If we have not read enough, then we ought to have seen enough done to believe. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. He put a roof over our head. He protected us through danger, seen and unseen. Do you believe yet? These things were written that we might believe. I shared last Sunday when I talked, amen, from a message about failure and faith and the future. One of the things that we have to come to understand as we're going to be Christians moving to disciple, that this whole journey is about faith. Do me a favor, tell somebody this whole journey is about faith. Everything that is happening is to tilt the weight and the scale that we'll tilt over even into unbelief, or we'll tilt over into believing. And none of us are so enclosed in God that we're not experiencing life. We're experiencing life, and things are happening, and it's trying to be determined, do we disbelieve, unbelieve, or do we believe? This is what this whole journey is about. Do you believe? And I need to let some of us know, things will happen in life that's trying to strip off of our faith. Peter, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you that when thou art, let me go back. I've prayed you because Satan desires to sift you of wheat. Sift what? Sift our faith to believe. Because he knows that if we keep on believing, then all things are possible. That was a good place to say amen, but that's okay. Amen. He knows if we keep on believing, then all things are possible. That the only way some things will not happen is we get over into unbelief. So Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He's trying to get you not to believe what Genesis to Revelation has recorded. He's really trying to get you to believe that Christ is not the Savior of the world. And this postmodern abyss that many are now drifting into, that we believe truth is relative and all of that kind of stuff. Truth is a person. God. And his name is Jesus Christ. I am the truth, and I am the way, and I am the life. Truth ain't no ideal. It ain't no fact. It ain't none of that. Truth is a person, and it's Jesus. And everything that has happened, oh, Lord, I really don't want to do it like that, but everything happened in his life is trying to get us tilted where we don't believe it, and we're doubting, and we're moving in fear. And God is letting us experience life to the point that we find out that he is our shepherd and we shall not want. We find out that no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. He's trying to let us keep living till we find out that he is the Lord God that healeth us. And there is no sickness that I cannot heal. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, do you believe yet? John said, all these things was written that you might believe, and that in believing you might have life through his name. This whole Christian journey is about faith. And when life happened, God's begin to speak, so he become the determinant of what is failure. Stop judging what is failure in your life. Sometimes God is saying, this is the best thing that could have happened to you. I wish I had some faith walkers in here. Some of the worst experiences in our lives turn out to be the best thing that could have happened. If it's not true, then Romans 8:28, we got to throw out. Romans 8:28 says, and we do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It might not have felt good, but it worked out for our good. And what God is trying to figure out, will you believe me when you go through that? Will you believe me when you lose that? Will you believe me when you ain't, when it ain't nothing but you and I? So be careful what you label as failure. This might be a faith builder. Oh, God. You didn't hear what I said, and I don't want to be long. This might be a faith builder. This might be a proving time that God show you that besides me, there is no other. This might be a time that God adds and multiplies by subtracting and dividing. Y'all give me a few moments. I want to preach for a minute. Be careful what you call failure. Because in the text today, this whole moment looks like a ultimate failure. Tell you that one more time. Say, neighbor, be careful what you call failure. Be careful. It is only God that can truly determine what we've gone through and what is it. What the enemy sends to take us out, God used to take us over. And you calling the enemy trying to take you out failure. And God said, no, I'm going to show you. I'm ready to take you over. This is the best thing that could have happened to you. It is God that holds our future in his hand. We never should be threatened by the enemies threatening us of what he's going to do to us. We never should be moved by the idle words of evil workers. Y'all ain't hearing me today. We should never be shaken by the whispering of voices. Our fate is in the hand of a mighty God. And all he's looking for is faith to believe and then faith to obey. Our world is in his hand if we only believe. And I know you're asking, what does this have to do with what you're talking about today? Just hang in there a minute. Until you're walking in faith, until you understand that I move even through what others call failure, you finally understand that my fate is determined by my obedience, we can finally come to the place that we understand that regardless of what's happening, I'm still seeking. I'm still expecting. I'm going to get there. And I'm still following. Isaiah lets us know in Isaiah 55 that, wait. You got to understand something. I think on a grander scale than you do. He said, my thoughts is that they're not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. They're much, much, much higher. Every now and then, something is happening in life that God's trying to lift our thinking. Every now and then, things are happening in life, and God's trying to lift our thinking. He's trying to show us that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. But it's by faith. Often when life began to happen, and life appeared to be failing, we have to understand that God is working things after his own counsel. I'll say that again, because life can happen and we don't understand it. And we can ask questions like, what in the world is going on? And we have to move over into, but he worketh everything after his own counsel. He doesn't ask us how we going to get a job and then how we going to get promoted and then how we going to pay our bills. He just gives us instructions what to go do. You got to understand this, and you're going to have problems with God if you have to be the master controller. Y'all come a little bit closer. Stay with me for a few moments. I promise you we'll get y'all out of here. God worketh everything after his own counsel. And he's like, I believe one author said, he's a master puppeteer. He's working stuff out, and we don't know how he's working it out. So that's why faith becomes so important, that we have to say at times, God, I don't understand all of this, but God, I trust you. Somebody say to me real loud, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And that's what Dr. Luke is trying to give us instructions of, how to trust God when we can't trace him. And I've sort of kind of, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been reading all the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, account of Jesus' Passion Week, but also his post-resurrection appearance. And who's standing at the tomb speaks profoundly to me about what kind of faith did they have in God. Theologian says of Dr. Luke, and I promise you I'm going to get to my point in a few minutes. Theologian says of Dr. Luke that he wrote accurately. He wrote in exactness. He wrote in a style of being polite and elegant. He's impressive to the mind and he's lofty, but he clearly expressed the appearing of Christ more pure than any of the other gospels. And his details become very important. Somebody said to me, details are very important. Details are very important. Luke, with clarity, he gives the scene of today's text, and that's what I'm trying to get to. In Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 1, it starts to outline the scene, and I promise y'all I'm going to get to where. In Matthew, it begins to show us this scene, and it calls out some names, and it calls out Mary Magdalene, and it calls out the other Mary that was at the sepulchre. And it says, this Mary Magdalene is the one that seven devils were cast out. In Mark, it gives us an account, and it says at this place was Mary Magdalene, it was Mary the mother of James, and it was Salomon, if I'm pronouncing that, S-A-L-O-M-E, and it was also the other women. Details important. Luke says at the first day of the week, they came with spices. And he says, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, which told things unto the apostle. Why I'm talking about this, because when we begin to look at the post-resurrection of Christ, one of the first thing we notice is, and don't stone me, nobody believed what he said. So before I go a little deeper where I'm trying to go, the first thing you have to see at Christ's resurrection, nobody believed him. I don't know if that's difficult for you guys, but that's difficult for me, because for about 3 years, and discipleship is not like today. When they became disciples, there was a certain period that they had to follow the master teacher everywhere he went. And it was 24/7. So for 3 years, the 12 apostles, everywhere Jesus went, they went. Remember, on different occasions, they said, we've left all to follow you. They was not talking about they came to Bible study on Tuesday night. They was not talking about they showed up for Sunday morning and you better celebrate me. No. What they was literally saying is, for 3 years, all we've been doing is following you around. Because that was the price of discipleship in that day. So at his resurrection, these people that have been following him around, he's laying hand on blind eyes, and blind eyes are opening up. He's taking Mary with seven devils and casting them out. He's telling Peter that caught no fish, just go back out, throw the net on the other side, and he catches so many fish, he doesn't even have room. He has to call other brothers, come help me with this great catch. There are lame folks getting up. walking. There's deaf ears getting unstopped. I'm talking about for 3 years, nonstop. The Bible says Jesus did so many miracles, there's not enough books to record everything he did. Give me your loaves. Give me your fish. And I'll feed masses. And one of the things that he told all of these that was following, seeing the miracle signs and wonders, that if I lay this body down in 3 days, I'm going to pick it up again. And on the third day when he picked it up, was nobody there. I need to put that on as a foundation before I go where I'm going today. All of us are in need of grace. Don't let nobody condescend and talk to you about how holy and how arrived they are. All of us are in need of grace. And the cross proves it. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why was nobody at the cross? The number one reason nobody was at the cross, most of them were scared to death. Fear will drive you to places you ought not be. God, I wish I could preach to a congregation. You got to be careful how you handle fear, because if you're not careful, fear will drive you into hiding. What are you hiding from because of fear? Muster up the faith to face your fears. Because if not, you'll stay hiding and you're going to miss Jesus. The number one reason they was hiding was fear. The second reason that they was not at the cross, it was because they really did not believe that he could get up out of the ground. And just a few days before, he just got Lazarus up, but they didn't believe he could get himself up. God has already proved that he can do everything he says he's going to do. All we need to believe, but if we're not careful, we'll be doubting. Good God Almighty, we'll be doubting what he's already showed us he can do. God, I don't know if y'all ready. Be careful, because you will be doubting what he's already showed you he can do. Didn't he show you 3 months ago he can pay your bills? He can make a way out of no way. He can be a bridge over troubled water. He can lower mountains. He can lift up valleys. So why are you still doubting? They were not at the grave when he resurrected. Because some did not believe that he was going to get up on the third day. So number one was fear. Number two was doubt. The third thing was misplaced priorities. I've never seen a generation that now have so many misplaced priorities. We got the last thing first and first thing last. And if you're not careful, you miss the resurrection of Jesus, the miracle working power of God, because of misplaced priority.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.